Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Odyssey celebrates Mother's Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Live and local, it's time for the Fan Morning Show with Bart Winkler.
Turn my mic on, please. Good morning, everybody. 414-799-1250. I want to talk a little Brewers here. Is that cool with everybody? We're going to talk a little Brewers. They're in the playoffs. They're the eighth seed. They won 29 games. They're below 500. Didn't matter for the Astros. They're below 500. They won yesterday. Oh, my God. I don't like Minnesota fans, mostly. I've never really hated the Twins. I feel bad for their fans. I mean, one of our guys, I think it was Judd Zulgad, one of our guys that we go to Minnesota for, Score North, not a sister station, people forget. He tweeted out, when's the last time any Twins fan ever had fun watching a playoff game? Because it's always those kind of games. They were up most of the game, but just 1-0. Astros score, and then they scored a bunch of runs in the ninth inning. They had some bad defense. And so now it's 17 straight losses in the postseason. You know, you can lose series and stuff, but they're not even winning games. And the Yankees got them for so many years. And now they've got the Astros and the Twins. What do they call it? The Bomba Squad or something stupid? They hit a bunch of home runs.
Yeah. Hit a bunch of bombs.
They've got a pitching staff that's pretty decent. Berrios goes today, I believe. But they lost. And that, you know, now they have to turn it around. They have to win their next two games. So obviously getting game one is huge in this three-game series.
Watch, the Astros are going to win the World Series.
Probably. If you don't like this eight-team format in each division, root for chaos. Because if the Astros win the World Series below 500, if the Brewers get to the NLCS.
I don't think Rob Manfred would even care. He'd probably be happy about it. He didn't punish him. What was the worst punishment that the Astros got?
Jose Altuve had to apologize to five reporters in front of some bushes.
Apologize. Exactly. And now he's just playing baseball, though.
And they're all playing. The worst punishment was that AJ Hinch
yeah.
lost his job.
Yeah, I mean, that's okay. And they had to hire Dusty Baker. So I guess that's punishment enough, right?
The Red Sox and Mets both had to let go of their managers.
Yeah, the Mets, man. What a mess that was.
Carlos Beltran stepped down.
After a day.
And all the Astros, there were no penalties of any kind. Because what did they agreed to spill the beans? Did they even spill anything? What did they spill?
Who knows?
What do we know from the deal that they cut?
Who knows?
Not much. John Heyman was on the Wendy's Big Show yesterday. And he talked about some of these changes that are this year in baseball, if some of them are going to stay. John Heyman talked a little bit with the devil, I mean Rob Manfred, and he had this to say on the Wendy's Big Show.
Yeah, I mean, we went over all the rule changes this year, and he said the one that has the most likely chance to stick is the runner on second in the extra innings. People seem to like that. I like that. I don't know. I've heard of some people who don't like it, but their feeling is that it's a positive and it creates excitement, and the majority of the fans, particularly the younger fans, probably like that one. He suggested the 7-inning doubleheader would be unlikely to stick around. He wants to keep it to 9-inning games, and that's the way it's been traditionally, and maybe younger people might like the 7 innings, but he's going with 9 innings, it seems to be, so that will be out. Designated hitter, he said it's a little harder to know exactly which way they're going to go. I mean, that's a big issue. The union's involved. They want it. The National League owners are involved. I think by and large, they've been against it over the years, but some are seem to be softening a bit on it. Didn't seem like it was a certainty to stay. It was kind of in between those two. The tiebreaker rule and this extra innings, that is likely to stay. Seven-inning doubleheaders will not stay. And I would say, sorry to give you the answer that it's more uncertain. We don't know on the designated hitter. It's kind of in the middle, he said.
I guess I can live with that. I don't want the three-batter limit to stay with the pitchers. I still think that's stupid. But with the extra innings, every sport does overtime different than the regular game. The NFL has the rule that they have where the NFL overtime sucks.
Yeah,
but college football's different.
I like college football's overtime. I know some people don't, but at least both teams get a shot. Yeah, I wish the
NFL won't do it with gambling. Although college does it, but maybe fantasy.
It would be it would suck if you had an under in the game and it's like a 7-7 game and then you're just going back and forth. Because that's what I always root for.
It'd be great in fantasy if my team went to overtime and then they go to five overtimes. I get five extra touchdowns from like Deshaun Watson.
That's what I always do with like Pac-12 after dark when you're chasing on a Saturday night. Here I am talking about gambling again, but who cares? And you'll take it over because you'll see like Arizona State and UCLA and both teams will average like 45 a game. But then yet it's the fourth quarter and it's like 7-3 and you're just rooting for a tie. So then it goes into overtime and they keep scoring. And you hit the over like that. I love that in the NFL. I mean, as a Packers fan, it's the worst rule in pro sports because all that ever crosses my mind is Aaron Rodgers leading a big comeback or Aaron Rodgers throwing a Hail Mary pass or Aaron Rodgers putting together a solid drive and then not touching the ball in overtime. I mean, how many times has it happened?
Yeah, to not get a chance in overtime is stupid.
Yeah.
It's stupid. It's dumb. It'd be like if in baseball, all right, if a team scores when they get the runner, they score. The other team doesn't get to score.
Right.
How do you do something and then not get a chance to score? And it's not like, well, you had more yards during the game. You scored last. No, they do a coin flip to determine it. So that is stupid. With baseball, the extra inning thing, I like long games. I like when I'm at a game and it's in the 15th inning.
Same.
I like when I'm watching. When I'm watching sports, the last thing I want is for that game to be over with. I want the game to go on. I like it. I like watching sports. I wait all day. Well, tonight's the exception because of the 9 o'clock start time. I'm hoping that with Suter on the mound, we'll hear from him in a minute. That's great. Maybe this game will get done by 11:30 with Suter pitching.
No way.
So we'll see. But with baseball, with the extra innings and the runner on second, I can budge on that one. The DH, honestly, I no longer care. If there's a DH or not, I don't care. I know we've debated this. I think sports radio was founded because of that debate, but I don't care. You want to have the DH in both leagues? Cool. You don't? All right. Doesn't matter to me. The doubleheaders that are seven innings, those are stupid. You got the game's nine innings. So it'd be like if in the NFL or in the NBA, it's back-to-back, you play three quarters.
Yeah.
Or 4 8-minute quarters. That's dumb. So that rule's dumb. The playoffs being expanded is also very dumb. Now, it's right for this year. I agree. Craig Counsell said that this week, that it's right for this year. He doesn't want to see it in the future because you're not rewarding teams. Imagine being the Dodgers. Imagine if the Brewers were the Dodgers. This year, if the Brewers won 3/4 of their games and then had to play a team that won 29 games. Two bad games and you're done. And the Brewers dealing with some injuries. Corbin Burns, you don't have him. Two bad games, you're done. That's not fair. You should be rewarded for a good regular season. And it gives more markets the chance to be excited, I guess, about the last couple of weeks of the season. I mean, you had the Giants interested. You had the Phillies interested. You had the Brewers interested. But then these other teams that are at the top, has any L.A. Dodger fan cared about what they've done the last 2 weeks? Has any Tampa Bay Ray fan cared?
Do the Dodgers have fans?
In the last week? Yeah, that's... I know Mary Hart's a fan.
I mean, yeah, fans. They show up in the sixth inning for Dodger Dogs and free bat night, and then you don't see them. They don't have real fans. I'm so sick of the Dodgers every single year. If they collapse, if they don't win it this year, I don't think they'll ever win a World Series. This has to be their best opportunity because they're usually burned out by now, but in the 60-game season... They just keep raking. They have the best pitching. They have the best bullpen. Like, it's kind of now or never. I say that, but it's not now or never because they extended Mookie Betts for the next, what, 10 years?
So, yeah.
Yeah.
He's there a long time. Mm-hmm. So let me look at what a projected lineup is for the Dodgers tonight.
Tonight!
Projected lineup would be Mookie Betts, Corey Seager.
Who's been awesome this year, by the way.
Justin Turner, Max Muncy, Will Smith, Cody Bellinger right now is in the sixth spot.
Yeah, he's been bad this year, man. You think Yelich has been bad, Bellinger's been just as bad this year. They've been led by Corey Seager, who's become the player that they thought he was going to be after being Rookie of the Year. He's been really good. Obviously, Mookie Betts has 16 homers this year and is hitting like 290 or something like that. He's been fantastic. And then somebody else has 16 bombs on this team, too.
A.J. Pollock?
A.J. Pollock does, yeah.
He bats seventh.
Yeah. Yeah, and he's got 16
projected
homers. Yeah. Tied
Jack Peterson, Chris Taylor, who had that catch in the NLCS that actually really did cost the Brewers a chance.
Yeah.
In 2018. And then the Brewers, I mean, it's you hope Vogelbach plays.
You need Vogelbach. You legitimately need, like, we've got to the point this season
where Jed Jerko can get a couple hits.
He has sucked. Jerko has. He has been bad the last, what? I mean, a couple weeks of the season.
He hits home runs.
I mean, put it like this, man. Ooh, Jed Jerko?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he does hit home. Well, he did in the final.
Well, I streamed him in a fantasy league, and I needed home runs.
Final 2 weeks of the season.
He got me a couple.
He hit .208 with two homers. That
yeah,
ain't gonna get
I got
it done.
Those, yeah.
Meanwhile, Vogelbach, his on-base percentage with the crew is .418. .418 is what he's hitting. So, yeah, you need that. You need Keston Hira. Who I didn't realize how bad the numbers were for Keston Hira. I'm not saying he's a bad player, but that sophomore slump with all the film being out there, and he led the National League in strikeouts this year.
Yeah, I wouldn't say I'm more excited for the Brewer game tonight than I've ever been for a playoff game. I'm very intrigued, and I do like being in the position of no expectations, and I do like that we can make some chaos here. I mean, for the Brewers, if they upset the Dodgers.
Oh, I'd love it. And Major League Baseball would hate it. They would hate it so much.
Would immediately realize, like, if the Brewers really upset the Dodgers, I wouldn't put it past Manfred to go, actually, this playoff format's stupid. We're gonna cancel these playoffs and then reseed the playoffs 1 through 4. Dodgers, you're back in it.
Yeah, they'll have a sack race. Or
Brewers,
like
you can go home.
Right.
Because this wasn't supposed to happen. This sucks. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't, you know, who knows with this commissioner?
Hey, there's only one thing left to do for the Brewers. Win it all. I'll clean that up a little bit. But seriously, you know, I mean, hey, you got a shot. You're in the dance, and that's all that it takes. Just get in the dance. Now, you can't play from behind in this game. You can't because
no,
because their bullpen's just as good as their rotation. And you can't play from behind. You can't give up those early runs in this one. It's going to be a good one. Maybe. Hopefully. I'm excited.
And the best part about this is if they beat the Dodgers in this 3-game series and go to a 7-game series, they have no chance. Because unless Burns comes back, they've got no pitching.
He would. So he's got that oblique injury. I think
he could.
I would assume he'd be back.
The
10
days would be up.
Yeah. I would assume he'd be back. Yeah, 10 days. I'm just trying to think of this all in my head.
They either play the Padres or the Cardinals.
So I'm rooting for the Padres in that one. But I'm trying to, like, put it all in my head, 10 days. Because with the NBA playoffs, usually those take, like, 3 months, 4 months. And they're playing every other day. So it felt like it just kind of, like, flew by. But then when you think about it, it really didn't fly by because it's, like, tough to even remember the Bucks in the bubble. And then in the baseball play, like, I was just trying to think of how many days, you know, because yesterday the AL started and then you got game two of some of those series. There was no – did any NL series actually begin yesterday?
No.
No,
just
right?
The AL,
just the
yeah.
AL. But yet the AL is playing again today.
Yep. When do you think
– and tomorrow.
Yeah. There could be no games Friday if all the NL series go 2-0.
Yeah, because the Friday – okay, yeah, you're right. Friday's all four NL series is okay.
When do you think this town completely buys into the Brewers? Because right now I don't think anyone's – I think people
tonight
are like –
tonight at 8:58.
No, I think people are like, I'll watch it, see what happens, and if they win –
If they take game one, everybody's back in, including me.
I think it's going to take a while. I think they have to...
If they beat the Dodgers tonight, everybody's in.
No.
Yeah.
No.
It's the Dodgers.
Nobody's in. No one cares.
The Dodgers' run differential, they've like outscored teams by like 90,000 runs this year. There's a stat for you. 90,000 runs. I mean, their run differential is ridiculous. They just beat the hell out of teams. I bet them like every night, And you can't take them on the money line. They're so damn good that they're like minus 350. Kershaw one time this year was like a minus 450 favorite. Broken down. I mean, not broke. He's still got some years left in the tank, but he's not. His back flares up every year in the postseason.
Want to know how jaded I already am about this Brewers team and maybe my profession?
What?
The number one reason I wanted the Brewers to get in the playoffs was so that we didn't have to stretch our preview of the Falcons game. Because we would have been out of stuff to say already. Oh, the Falcons blow leads. Oh, yeah.
I'm talking finals tomorrow. I know we got to do 3.5 hours of Brewers, but I'm sneaking in some NBA finals, man. LeBron's playing against the Heat tonight. I'm talking about that.
799-1250. Crutch.
I thought the Bucks choked.
We're going to talk to Scott Miller, Bleacher Report, in a little bit. Do want to hear from the Game 1 starter tonight, and that will be Brent Suter. Yes, the Brewers in the playoffs against the Dodgers, and Brent Suter will be taking the reins. We'll talk to Scott Miller, talk some more baseball with him. A little cameo challenge to wrap things up. But Brent Suter sat down with the esteemed members of the Milwaukee media yesterday. I was actually on this call, but you won't hear me because I didn't ask any questions. Every question I was going to ask, Tom or Adam asked it. So it was a real bummer, including this one, Brent Suter.
Did you ever see this in your future, Game 1 postseason series starter?
I mean, it was a dream as a kid for sure, but realistically, no. It was just, it's very, it's definitely, it's an unfortunate reason why, you know, Corbin going down, he would definitely been our number one and earned it every bit of it. But just to kind of try to pick him up. And I told him last night, I was like, hey, I'm going to try to take that, you know, your spirit out there with me and try to get put up some zeros for the boys tomorrow. So it's a dream come true for sure. It's quite an honor. But I'm just going to try to go out there and try to do my job, keep the team in the game as best I can.
The way you pitched your last start, how much confidence does that give you that you're able to pitch back those four innings? And being as effective as you were, obviously it's an entirely different team, but what kind of confidence does it give you?
Yeah, really every game you're learning something new for sure. So be able to, you know, put a good outing together before this outing helps a little bit just with, you know, confidence. But this game's hard. Every day is a new day. So and this lineup is a very challenging lineup. So we got our hands full for sure this series, and we know that. And we're going out there. We're going to try to play our best baseball and try to shock the world.
Brett, beyond your obvious pitching talent, what is it about your makeup and personality that allows you to be the guy he always chooses in these situations? He always chooses you and you always come through. What is it that makes you such the good choice besides your pitching talent?
I get ready quickly. I'm able to, you know, kind of get locked in fairly quickly. I work quickly, so sometimes I can help just kind of with all the tension a little bit. I try to keep it loose and have fun. Like, I'm not one of those guys that come to the park and you don't talk to me during start days. In fact, I'm quite the opposite. I'm goofing around, having a good time. In fact, my routine now this year has been kind of stretch with the relievers and just act like it's a kind of a relief appearance. So I don't go out there until like 15, 20 minutes before the game and just act like I'm going into a game as a reliever. So that, I really like that. I might continue that even if I end up being in a rotation at some point in the future. I might just keep doing that. It's way better than the stuff I was doing before. But no, it's definitely, it's one of those things. I try to keep it loose. And when given between the lines, try to go out and attack and make them beat me rather than beat myself.
Brent, just to follow up on that about your routine and acting like a reliever, even when you're starting, what difference does that make in terms of normalizing, maybe even if you are starting game one of a wild card series, like just keeping it normal for yourself?
Yeah. We talked about doing it before the Pittsburgh start, my first spot start this year, just like keeping that routine going of like the body, you know, getting the arm loose, taking a shower, doing the pregame lock in. I play like Sudoku, try to get my mind going before games and then go out there and, you know, be ready to pitch at any moment. So it normalizes. It feels good physically too, because when you go out just as a starter and sometimes you've got like a lot of nerves still going and your body's kind of waking up and going, but if you kind of wake up the body beforehand, it's already somewhat loose. So it feels a lot better just on the arm and everything to keep the reliever routine going. But I also like just, you know, being with the guys and keeping the same routine with my throwing partner and doing the, you know, the same routine that I've been doing all year. So it makes it a lot more fun. I like the routine a lot better, just plain and simple.
Brent, you're obviously not a strikeout guy, but your strikeout numbers are up to a career high this year. Do you have any explanation for that, why that might be?
I don't. I've kind of honestly been attacking the same way I've been attacking hitters in the past. I don't know if metrics – I think I'm throwing my cut fastball like a little slower this year than last year maybe. And then so I don't know. It might be cutting a little bit more or a little later. I really don't have the exact answer for you. Changeups come along a lot better the last couple of weeks. So I've gotten more strikeouts on that than I did the last couple of years percentage-wise. But, yeah, I don't have an explanation really for that. It's just trying to get guys out. Sometimes that's via the strikeout.
Brent, you were injured when the Brewers played the Dodgers in the 2018 LCS. So they haven't seen you for a long time because you didn't play them this year. Your unique style, your unique pace, the way you can quick pitch guys and make them so uncomfortable. Are you hard to deal with if they haven't seen you for a while? I mean, video and scouting can only help so much with you, right?
I hope so. I hope I'm hard to deal with, you know what I mean? In fact, they were the last team I played before I had to go under the knife for Tommy John. They were my last outing. So it's been quite a while. I hope I can throw off their timing. And just, you know, keep them on the defensive. It's a great lineup over there. Really good team. Really, really good team. So, we know we have our hands full, but that doesn't mean we have to be Superman out there. We just got to go out and do our jobs. But, to answer your questions very shortly, I sure hope so.
Why do you think more pitchers don't try to work faster like you do? We were watching some playoff games today, and some of the pitchers, you thought they were never going to throw the ball. I mean, they're out there squeezing the sawdust out of it. Why do you think people don't pitch fast like you do?
Some do. I mean, we got Brett Anderson on our team who pitches really quick. I know Wade Miley pitches really quickly. So seems like, you know, some guys do. I know last year, I remember Jordan Lyles and Chase Anderson specifically were like upping their tempo a little bit, and they were kind of focused on that last year, some good results. So I think some guys are doing it. It's not everybody's style and not everybody's comfortable doing it. So it's to each his own, whatever helps them get the best pitch out. You don't want to sacrifice pitch quality and execution for pace, but if you can do both, it's probably, you know, it's definitely better to pitch quicker.
Brent, do you ever slow down? I would think the postseason would be a time where you might consider it.
Yeah, when I throw like two non-competitive pitches in a row, I try to take a step off. It might not seem like a long time, but it seems like a long time to me when I step off there and just like try to disengage from the rubber, take a deep breath and, you know, reset. So that's kind of my cue. And then if, you know, I feel like a couple quick hits in a row, I'll take a step off too. So there are definitely times to slow it down, take a breath and get back to work. But if everything's working, I try not to slow down too much. I'm a little bit run in the mouth, but I don't know. I do some things quick, but not everything.
How does a gregarious guy like you, Brent, handle life in this bubble? Are you chafing under this bubblicious way you guys are living now?
A little bit. I tried to been watching some movies, reading a little bit, and then my wife got me the Nintendo Switch, or like it was at my house, and I've been playing the golf game on there, and it kind of feels like I'm golfing outside, which is one of the things I like to do to kind of get away from the game. So that way it hasn't been too bad. I actually look forward to playing the rounds on the Switch, as weird as it sounds. But it's definitely a little different, but I don't go too stir crazy. I try to just go into it because, you know, does you no good to resist it and go crazy. So you just got to do the best of what you got inside. So, the video games are helping a little bit.
Brent, how do you compare just the juice of this compared to last year going into the wild card game? Just the intensity and the feeling that you have going.
Yeah, certainly tomorrow the no fans will make it a little different. The fans in Washington and, you know, any postseason game are, you know, that much crazier and louder. But in terms of like, you know, we got a real opportunity here. You know, best of three series, like anything can happen. So, and this is, you know, a really good team. You know, we kind of got, in a way, we have nothing to lose in terms of, you know, the pressures on them, so to speak, in terms of, they had a very good regular season. We had, you know, we snuck in these playoffs a little bit. So But we're going out there and we're going to play as good a baseball as we can. And it's going to be intense. It's postseason baseball. So every pitch is that much crazier, but it's going to be a blast.
Brent, sometimes when you face lineups, there's a hitter or two that maybe is struggling a little bit and you get a little bit of a breather. This Dodgers lineup, if you look at it top to bottom, I mean, obviously they're paying a lot for their team. It's about as difficult, it seems like, as anybody you could face. Do you think so?
Yes, it's one of the best lineups in baseball, for sure. They do a lot of things really well. They've got speed, they've got contact, they've got power, they've got, you know, they feed off each other really well. Discipline, good strike zone awareness, good control, really good barrel control. So they present a lot of challenges, and it's going to be a challenge, no doubt. But I think that makes it that much more exciting, that much more fun to go playing with a team like this. And we definitely have had some battles with them the last couple of years, regular season and postseason. So hopefully this is another, you know, incredible chapter in that kind of rivalry going.
It's Brent Suter speaking with myself and the rest of the media. Really, really great interview there from Suter, and that's why we brought it to you here this morning. Bart Winkler, Ryan Horvath, 414-799-1250. We'll talk some more baseball coming up with Scott Miller, Bleacher Report. Let's get a quick peek at what's going on in Green Bay. Mike Clemens here on The Fan.
Now, a green and gold update brought to you by Concordia University, Wisconsin Veteran Services Department. Learn how to use your military benefits at cuw.edu/veterans. In Green Bay, here's Mike Clemens.
The Packers are getting ready to play the Falcons here at Lambeau Field on Monday Night Football. Packers linebacker Christian Kirksey will be out after suffering a shoulder injury against the Saints. Second-year linebacker Ty Summers will wear the radio helmet calling the plays, learning on the job.
For me, it's always the ones that I left out there, and I know especially that long one on Kamara, that could have really helped us there. I mean, saved a score. So things like that are the ones that kind of, you know, fuel me for the next week.
On offense, the Packers are protecting the football. No fumbles and no interceptions through the first three games. The first time that's ever happened in franchise history. Concerns about COVID after the Titans had some staff and players test positive following that road trip to Minnesota. Right now, the city of Green Bay, one of the top hot spots for the virus. Packers center Corey Linsley.
For us, we get COVID, you know, that's money out of our pocket. I get it. You know, we're well off, but everybody in here, some rookies are trying to make as much money as they possibly can. Some guys are trying to get the other contracts and, you know, all of us are an integral part of this business.
Best Packers coverage on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Winkler, Ryan Horvath, our good buddy Evan Heffelfinger. We've got the cameo challenge coming up. $3 on the line for the Minions. A reminder, we are all in everywhere you go. Wisconsin is all in. Staying 6 feet apart, keeping gatherings small. These are ways we can help defeat the virus. We got to get the numbers down. Be a good neighbor. Show us how you're all in using the hashtag We Are All In. Learn more at WeAreAllIn.com. Talking a lot of baseball today, as you would expect. Brewers are inconceivably in these playoffs. Scott Miller has been joining us from time to time. We appreciate his time getting up early for us. Scott, we thank you for that on the West Coast, where we're going to stay up late to watch a baseball game tonight. This Brewers-Dodgers series, it's so fascinating because all the pressure is on the Dodgers. I mean, the Brewers have absolutely nothing to lose. So if you go up a couple of runs, I say bring Hader in, bring Williams in, try to win this game. And the more pressure you can put on the Dodgers, the better. It's got to suck for them. I mean, they did everything they could in the regular season, and their reward is, well, you got to win a best of three against this team that has nothing to lose. Scott, thanks for a couple minutes.
You're welcome. Nice to be with you. Good morning. Big day today. 8 games.
Wow.
You're right. We're starting early. We're going late. It's going to be exciting. I think you're absolutely right. There is everything to lose for the Dodgers. and the Brewers are playing with house money. I don't think there's any question. The Dodgers, you're right. They at least they get this series at home, but they're not happy overall. You know, because the National League teams, as we know, after this series, they get shipped to Texas, and you know, it's all neutral site. And you know, as one of the Dodger officials told me a couple weeks ago, that you know, baseball's done everything it can to water things down. You know, that and so yes, I think you're right. You won't be publicly be hearing them complaining, because you know they know how the game is played and they don't want to say anything inflammatory, but. Yeah, I mean, that might be the thing from the Dodgers. I think they probably are going to enter with a little bit of a chip on their shoulders, simply because of, you know, they feel like they haven't necessarily gotten what they've earned in the expanded playoffs. But that said, I mean, you know, you heard Craig Counsell last night, what he said, and if I'm him, I'm playing that up to my entire clubhouse. Look, guys, nobody thinks you can should even be on the same field with the Dodgers. Let's just go out and have some fun. And I agree. Game one tonight is that could be the whole thing. I agree with you. Brewers get a lead. Bring Hader in. Bring Williams in. In a short 2 out of 3 series, you've got to play to win today's game. And don't even think about tomorrow. It's almost, in effect, like it's an elimination game tonight, especially playing in LA, because if you can sneak game one, then it gets really fun.
You know, I do want to talk about some of the changes in baseball this year and if they're what should be next year. I'll talk about that with you in a minute. As far as this playoff structure, Counsell, one of the things that he said is, you know, he didn't like it. He gets it for this year. I think a lot of us get it for this year, but in baseball, it is a battle of attrition. That's part of the beauty of it. It's 162 games. You got to have the challenges that present you over the 6 months. And even the wild card game, to take all that and then just play one game and now just this 3-game series. It is very unfair for the teams that have had success in the regular season, and Counsell thinks those teams should be rewarded for that. So if you don't like these playoffs, the 8 teams in each league, you should root for the Brewers. And you should root for the Astros. Root for chaos, Scott, so this never happens again.
I like that. I like your philosophy. I'm pretty much on board with that. I'm not a fan of expanded playoffs. I think Craig Counsell's right. I think as far as the expanded playoffs, I think we have to look at it two ways. One is, if we can get back to a normal year next year beyond the pandemic, God knows we all need that. If we play 162, that's a different subject starting next year again for expanded playoffs. And I'm in agreement with that. I think it gets awfully dangerous, because if you're going to put in almost 50% of the teams, why play 162 games? I mean, it's going to water down the regular season. It's going to water down September. You know, the baseball season builds and builds and builds like a good novel. And you get to that last chapter in September, and, you know, people that love the sport know how exciting it is. And if all of a sudden, you know, you expand dramatically, you're going to render all that, you're just going to pull the air out of that balloon. So I'm definitely in agreement. I'm not a big fan of expanded playoffs. That said, now the second part of that is, you look at this year, and I think, you know, it's borderline miraculous that baseball's been able to get the sport back on the field this year and play through a 60-game season. I mean, there was a time earlier in the summer when it looked like we might not even have baseball this year.
Yeah.
There was a time a week into the season when the Marlins had their COVID outbreak, and we were saying, you know what, this thing might get shut down 2 or 3 weeks into this so-called 6-short season. So based on that, the fact that they were able to get the game on the field this year, I mean, it's only 60 games. So, you know, I think you have to look at this as a total outlier, this whole season, this whole postseason. And, you know, I was of a mind at this point, if we could just have the sport back this year, you know, I'm not normally in favor of circus type atmospheres, but okay, fine. You want to put runners on second base. You want to experiment this year. This is the year to do it, because 60 games is, you cannot compare the season in any way, shape, or form to any previous season.
So you've had a lot, as we talked to Scott Miller, MLB columnist, Bleacher Report, Turner. We've talked to him a couple of times. We talked to you a lot during the time of no sport, and you echoed the same thing there. Yep. We wanted to see somewhat of a season, and that's what we're getting. So when things do go back to normal, what of the changes, of all the different changes, what would be best for baseball to keep? I think as we talk about it, we talked about it a little bit ago, the DH, I'm kind of like, I really don't care either way. The seven-inning doubleheaders, I think that's ridiculous. The extra innings, I think I can sort of buy into a little bit, just because overtimes in every sport are a little different. I still don't like the three. We forget about the three pitcher, yep, batter minimum.
Batter, yeah.
So what of the changes would, I think, go over the best in a 162-game regular season?
I'm you're talking a guy that normally is one of those cranky, old-school, purist types that doesn't want to ever see any changes, so we'll start there.
Are you, like, way old-school that you don't even like baseball in California? Like, way old-school?
You know, that's a really good question. I love that question. Nah, I'll go along with that.
Okay.
Especially being that I'm based in San Diego. I've lived here for 20 years, so I will say this. I'm headed to Petco Park a little bit later today for the Cardinals Padres. I will say, in this year of no travel for hardly any of us, I'm appreciative that baseball is bringing the playoffs to me this year, since I'm not going out on airplanes this fall like so many others. I'll see the Cardinals Padres, and then the American League is coming to San Diego and Los Angeles. So, yeah, as far as the baseball in California, I'll say, especially this fall, I'll enjoy that. But, you know, the designated hitter, I've always preferred National League-style ball, but I think we've reached a point. I mean, I think designated hitter is the most realistic change to keep, and I think they eventually keep that. And you know, I'm one of the last of the holdouts of that. But my reasoning at this point is, I think the National League was the last league pretty much in the country to not have a designated hitter. And so the problem is, I enjoy a guy like Madison Bumgarner, Clayton Kershaw, back in the day, Bob Gibson, swinging the bat. I've never understood why, you know, pitchers should not be expected to at least be reasonable to play. And I've always figured if you're a pitcher and you put in the work and you can hit, you help yourself. But that said, high schools have DHs now. Colleges have DHs. So the problem is, when these pitchers hit the National League, and there's DHs all through the minor leagues. So, you know, we're of a generation now where so many of these pitchers grew up and they haven't hit for years anyway. So then they hit the National League and they're expected to bat and they just look awful. And for that reason, I think the time's probably here to incorporate the National League. I mean, the DH in the National League. As far as the others, the seven-inning doubleheader, I'm with you. I hope that doesn't happen. Now, that's an example where I think that's part of the reason we were able to get a 60-game season in this year. I think baseball has done a good job of making some changes to try to get this season in. You know, and the reason for that was seven-inning doubleheaders. So, you know, you didn't play the 18-inning game, and then you're on the road, and now you've got to rush pitchers in for today's game after you played all night last night. You got to call and get pitchers on airplanes at 6 in the morning, and you know, you're just exposing people more and more to the virus. And so I understand the reasoning behind it. But for this year, again, great on a curve. It's fine. But they better get away, not have the seven-inning doubleheaders. I'm not thrilled with the runner on second base to start extra innings. Again, for this year, it's fine. Going forward, I just think it's a lowering of the standards in the game. And not to mention, so many standards have been lowered in this country. And but sticking with baseball, that's a whole other subject. you know, I mean, you know, it's a big boy sport, and they played it for 100 years where extra innings go on until somebody wins. I think it cheapens things to put a runner at second. If they do that, I pray they don't do it like now this year, starting in the 10th inning. At least wait till the 12th or 13th before you do that. We'll see how that plays out. You know, and I tend to side with managers. I'm not thrilled with the pitchers having a three-batter minimum again. You know, I think that takes some strategy out of the game. But, you know, we also have a pace of game issue, and we're in a spot where the ball's not put in play nearly as much as it needs to be. There's so much dead time during games that, you know, that needs to be addressed. The batting average this year is like one of the worst since the DH was incorporated in 1968. It was threatening to be the all-time worst in Major League Baseball. In fact, I need to look that up today and see where that is, the overall Major League batting average I'm talking about.
So with all this being said, it's weird, it's different, it is happening. What do you like for a World Series matchup? I'm looking at some of these series that are starting in this first round. I'm excited for the game in about an hour with the Reds-Braves, because I think you have a pitching staff like the Reds have, and you just need to win a couple of games here in a three-game set. I think they could do some damage. American League seems to be very interesting. Yankees, a big win last night. Tampa as well. The Twins, heartbreak for their fans. What do you like right now for maybe a World Series, quote-unquote World Series?
Yeah, you know what? I'm going to stick with my preseason predictions column, which usually is the big extravaganza in April, right? Going into the season. Well, I did it in July, you know, before the 60-game season. And part of it was I really believed in at least one of these two teams. And part of it was I figured 60-game season, things are crazy, it's 2020, let's take a little chance. So my World Series prediction, which I'm sticking with, is Tampa Bay Rays to win it all over the team you just mentioned, the Cincinnati Reds. And part of the reason I got to stick with it is, A, because that was the going into the season, and those two teams obviously are into the playoffs, so you got to stick with what you said. Secondly, hey, you're talking to a guy that last year's preseason prediction column picked the Washington Nationals over the Houston Astros in the World Series, completely nailed it. Usually the predictions are so bad, you know, that when you get them right, you got to brag.
Oh, yeah.
Last year I was right, so I'm sticking with it this year.
I'm not going to hold that against you. I do sports talk radio, and, man, you get one thing wrong, it's all people care about. You get 100 things right, no one cares. Scott, it's interesting. Enjoy the 8 games today. Enjoy the game you're going to be at, and we will try to talk again before the World Series.
That sounds good. Thank you. And take care, and you enjoy the games as well. And the listeners, enjoy and stay healthy.
Scott Miller, appreciate that. You too. Scott Miller on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Really one of our favorite guys to talk to. Very knowledgeable about the sport and good to bring some gravitas to the show. He joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Is your passion outgrown your home? A Great Midwest Bank home renovation loan may give you the space it deserves. Visit GreatMidwestBank.com today. Simply local lending since 1935. Just some baseball notes real quick. Daniel Vogelbach, according to Robert Murray, will be on the Brewers wildcard roster. Will it mean he plays today? That's still up in question. And Chris Paddock's going to start for the Padres today. News broken by Mike Schilt, Cardinals manager.
Well,
they told him, and he didn't know they didn't tell anyone else.
Yeah.
And so he talked about it.
Yep.
And he felt very bad for that. So
I got a quick correction, though. Daniel Vogelbach will not play today, but he may play tonight.
Ooh.
Night!
All right. We haven't done this in a while. Let's bring it back. Cameo Challenge. Cameo, the website where you can pay a celebrity or someone who thinks they are a celebrity to send you a video message. Now, some of these people are very affordable. Some cost an astronomical.
Oh.
Astronomical.
You got almost
there. Astronomical.
There you go. It's Wednesday.
Oh, my God. Okay, so just a weird Wednesday. An astronomical amount of money, and I am going to. I did the research, so I'm going to ask Ryan Horvath and Evan Heffelfinger, our good buddy. What's up, E?
Morning, boys.
I'm going to ask you guys who you think costs more. We have 12 rounds. There is a tiebreaker if needed. The winner will win $3 of COVID cash because I will not Venmo you. I have real $3. Nice. I don't use cash anywhere.
That's three tacos, so I'm actually like really excited for this.
Well, I don't use cash because everywhere I go, they're like, if you use cash, we're going to keep the change. Because of a
I always tell them, keep the change.
Coin shortage.
Filthy animals.
Which I think is a conspiracy.
Yep.
You want to dive into that, or is that for a Winx Things podcast?
What is that?
It was this thing that happened back in the day.
All right, cameo challenge. I will start with Evan, if you guys don't mind. Who cost more on Cameo? Would it be Eagles great and ESPN four-letter network commentator Ron Jaworski?
Jaws.
Or NFL Red Zone host Scott Hansen? Who costs more on Cameo?
Is this the E or me?
That's the E.
Forgot how we do this.
I'm going to go Jaws. I don't think enough people know Scott Hansen.
Well, enough people know Scott Hansen that $130 is what he's going to charge
what?
You.
Mon frere.
Although, Jaws is $275. So Evan's up 1-0. I do want to say this about Red Zone. I have DirecTV, and they gave me the free Red Zone this year. Thank you.
Yeah.
Andrew Siciliano.
Way better than Hanson.
Nah.
I like Siciliano a lot.
Siciliano tries to do too much play-by-play.
So does
my friends make fun of his ears.
Hanson's always yelling at everybody. And guys, if we could pause it on here, go back to the Jets game, damn it.
Hanson's got Tom Brenneman disease, where he's like, and that's a touchdown. Oh, no, there's a flag. Oh, wait, I'm on the wrong game.
That's a fly ball to left field. That's a home run for Nick Castellanos. I'll make it 4-0 Reds.
Shameful.
I really feel bad that he resigned. That's
couldn't imagine sticking
story.
Up.
I don't know if I'll call another ball game again.
No, you probably won't. Yeah, anyone sticks up for him.
Wouldn't mind him going to jail. I don't know why, but.
All right, Horvat, who costs more, Soulja Boy or Chingy?
You. Chingy. Right there. I love it when you do that right there. I'm going to go with, obviously, it's got to be. Well, Soulja Boy is still making beats and making money.
And video game systems.
Chingy, I haven't heard from him since he was chilling at the Holiday Inn. So give me Chingy, actually. Stop, drop, kaboom.
Chingy costs $60. Soulja Boy is going to cost you $100.
Nice. I see what you did there.
Who costs more, Evan? I'm going to stay on the commentator route with you. Who costs more, FS1, Chris Broussard? You know, I unfollowed Doug Gottlieb the other day. He's an idiot.
He sucks.
Chris Broussard or ESPN's Jessica Mendoza?
Fun fact about Gottlieb, he should have actually went to prison for credit card fraud.
Yeah.
I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Stole his roommate's money.
Jessica Mendoza or Chris Broussard? Who costs more on Cameo, the website where you can pay people to half-ass a message for you?
Broussard was for the four-letter network for a while.
Yeah.
He's been around forever. I remember growing up watching him.
Multiple sources.
I'm going to go Chris Broussard.
Chris Broussard costs $60. Mendoza's going to charge you $85. So you are wrong. Horvat, who costs more on Cameo? Hines Ward. Steelers great. Should he be in the Hall of Fame? All he could do is catch. Or Vernon Davis.
Oh, man.
Longtime tight end.
God, did I hate Vernon Davis. Those Colin Kaepernick-led 49er teams. Even the Alex Smith one. Let's go with Vernon Davis.
Hines Ward costs $199.
That's a Super Bowl MVP.
Got a field name after him. And ketchup, kind of.
Vernon Davis costs $300 bucks.
What's he up to these days?
I think he's a broadcaster.
I was going to say, don't they all just become broadcasters and then just throw stuff at the wall?
Isn't he part of that, like, Nutrisystem thing with, like, Joe Montana and all those guys? I don't know.
My favorite is the enhancement pills that Frank Thomas slings.
Yep.
And he's just, like, at the gym, and all these ladies just leave their husbands to go flirt with Frank Thomas. And the husband's like, that's all right, babe. Go get him. That's the big heart. I got his baseball card. Just be sure to come home after.
All right, I've got 90s TV ones for you. Evan, are you versed enough in 90s TV?
Oh, no.
I might be.
All right, I'm going to go TGIF with you. Who costs more? Andrea Barber, who played Kimmy
Gibbler
on Full House.
Gross.
Or Jaleel White, who played Urkel.
Did I do that?
And Stefan.
Yeah, and Stefan. People forget. People
they
do
forget.
Forget.
All he had to do was take off his glasses and he could have got Laura. Glasses
well,
on.
He got Laura. Urkel got Laura at the very end.
At the very end, yeah. When she was
he's also really good
goods.
At basketball.
She chose Urkel over Stefan.
Yeah. I was always the Eddie guy. I loved Eddie. And what was his friend's name?
Oh man.
George.
No.
He like squibbles
or something.
Was it Wayne? It was like squibbles or something. Oh man, what was Eddie's? Okay, you guys do, I'll check this out.
All right. Who cost more, Kimmy Gibbler or Urkel?
Well, Kimmy Gibbler had a comeback in Fuller House, but can you really call it that? Because that was an awful TV show. Jahleel White. I'm going to go with Jahleel White.
You would be right. Jahleel White, Urkel cost $199. Kimmy's $125. 2-1, Evan. Horvat, who cost more? Kel Mitchell from Keenan and Kel or DJ Jazzy Jeff from The Fresh Prince?
Oh, man.
Kel or DJ Jazzy Jeff?
Man, I love me some DJ Jazzy Jeff, but
I'm
gonna go with the Kel dude. Give me Jazzy Jeff. He's cost more.
Ooh, late decision, and it paid off because DJ Jazzy Jeff's $125. Kel, home of the Good Burger. Can
Waldo!
I get an order?
Waldo. Sorry.
What'd I say, Wayne?
It's driving me nuts. Our buddy, our good buddy Frank, actually DM'd me.
Oh, thanks, Frank.
Yeah. Waldo, Geraldo, Faldo.
Frank. Frank needs a raise. I know we don't pay our listeners, but
Frank, do you want to intern with us?
Yeah,
and
Frank,
answer the calls.
Frank's always there for us.
I'll pay you.
And he's very good at the '90s stuff.
Yeah, he's into the same stuff as us.
Frank, man.
Frank, come to the party.
Yeah, I like Frank.
You don't even need a degree to get a job in radio.
Did I just lose my job?
No, you're still here too.
No, we need you Friday.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I got to go risk COVID because my friend's selfish and wants to get married.
What are we gonna do about trivia?
Well, let's play this game and then worry about the other game later, right? Yeah.
All right, so it's 2-2. Evan, who costs more, Archie Manning or Fran Tarkenton? Saints legend or Vikings legend?
I'm going to go Archie just because no one loves the Mannings more than Archie.
That is true, and you are correct. Archie Manning costs $250. Fran Tarkenton, longtime Vikings quarterback, cost $199.
I wonder if Cooper Manning's on there. You know, Cooper could have been the best, but he had that neck injury. People forget.
What about Arch Manning?
More? Oh, yeah, Arch. The little one?
The 8-year-old.
Who costs more, Horvat? Mandy Moore, who I one time thought I was going to marry.
I hate her. She broke Vince Chase's heart, almost ruined Aquaman.
Or the entire band of Hoobastank.
I'm going to go with, The entire band
or Mandy Moore, now the matriarch on This Is Us.
Yeah, Mandy Moore probably doing pretty well for herself. Meanwhile, Hoobastank, I don't know the reason for them. I couldn't think of anything clever there. It's the end of the day. Give me Hoobastank. Damn it!
Hoobastank costs $299 for the band. Mandy Moore is going to charge you a pretty $300.
Walk to Remember, great film.
You got knocked down, but you can get up again.
She passes away at the end. Spoiler alert. Sorry.
Who costs more? Evan, you have a 3-2 lead. There's just 4 questions left. You could really distance yourself here. Who costs more? From The Office, Oscar Nunez, who plays Oscar, or Paul Lieberstein, who plays Toby?
Well, Oscar's got that State Farm money, too.
Mm-hmm.
He might not need it. Paul... See, Paul did a lot of the writing and directing on the show, I know, because I'm a big fan.
That's why I asked you.
I'm going to go Paul Lieberstein, because it's probably as Toby, and they make him do, like, Toby impressions, and then they yell at him in the cameo, something like that.
For that reason only, too.
Yeah, you would be right. You don't need to show your work. I tuned out. 4-2 is the score. So, Horvat, I think you need to... you need to get this one.
I'm coming off a victory in trivia. Let's see if I can make it 2.
You need to get this one to stay alive.
All right.
Who costs more? I'm going to go to Green Bay for this one and look at specifically the inside linebackers.
Okay, let's do this.
Often injured Christian Kirksey or friend of the Zach Gelb show, Ty Summers. Who costs more on Cameo?
Oh, it's got to be Christian Kirksey, right?
Yes.
Okay, I was going to say.
Friend of the Lodge, Kohler Kickoff, Ty Summers.
I do. My birthday is actually in...
October 9th.
Yeah, wow. My wife doesn't even know that.
When's mine, Bart?
December 21st.
Now, I got him Jeff Janis. Well, me and Paul and I got him Jeff Janis for his cameo. I want Reggie Begelton.
Okay.
Begelton. Whatever the hell his name is.
Gold Jacket. Write that down. Horvat, you have 3. Evan has 4, but he can win if he gets this one right. Who costs more, Amon Green or Jamal Williams?
Oh, jeez.
Amon Green, the best running back in Packers history.
And Omaha Nighthawks history.
Ooh, I'm not. I think I'm putting Aaron Jones at the top of the list already. Aaron Ellerson.
Or all-time personality Jamal Williams. I'm going to go Amon Green. Go the legacy here.
All right.
No, Amon Green costs $75. Jamal Williams costs $300.
Yeah, he probably has something clever in there. He's a funny guy. Big fan of the movie Frozen. Who isn't, though?
On Cameo. Horvat, you need to get this one right to go to a bonus round. Who costs more on Cameo?
Night!
Hercules or Superman? Hercules, who is played by Kevin Sorbo, or Superman, who is played by Dean Cain?
Well, Sorbo, I think, is in, like, politics or something weird now. Dean Cain, God, I don't know where he is. Give me Dean Cain.
You're right. $100. Kevin Sorbo, $80. I need you guys to Facebook me or something. We have a minute. Over, under, you can go. Closest gets it right. Gonzaga coach Mark Few.
Oh, gosh. I can't even find you on Facebook. And we only got a minute.
Mark Few.
He cost a few bucks, you could say. How about we? I can't.
You can just tell me. Evan told me.
Mark Few is $136.
Okay. Evan told me $69. Nice. Mark Few costs $200.
Let's go!
So that means Horvat wins $3 and a song of your choice. And you have selected Hoobastank. We're back tomorrow. Go Brewers.
That I could take it all away.
Odyssey celebrates Mother's Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.